Good evening. Thank you for coming. It's good to be here with you. I live in Gainesville, Florida, and I'm on the road quite a bit. I just came from Denver, Colorado. I was there for a trial. You might have heard about the three Dominican nuns. I was at their trial. They're friends of mine. They were arrested last October for entering a Minuteman missile silo and taking carpenter's hammers and hammering on the rails that move a 110-ton concrete missile silo cover. So they hammered on the rails. They had two colonels that were in charge of the operation take the stand. Both acknowledged that they did nothing that ultimately interfered with the security of the United States of America. They were quite proud to say that. But they were still found guilty by a jury after the judge ruled over and over and over again not to allow them to speak, to tell their story, to tell why they did it, to talk about international law and all that stuff. And so they're found guilty of two charges, sabotage and injury to the national security. And they're facing 30 years in jail. They've already been in jail since October. They're going to go back to jail until July when they'll be sentenced. And then at that time, they'll receive their sentence and go back on to jail again. So it's quite a shocking moment to be there and to witness this. These women are unbelievable, really unbelievable. And their courage is just beyond anything I've ever witnessed. Let me take a minute and tell you a little bit about myself before I get started here with this, what I'm doing. I grew up in a military family. I was a young Republican, actually, in 1968, living in the panhandle of Florida. It's so conservative there, they call it Lower Alabama. And I was working on the Nixon's campaign. I was the vice chair of the Okaloosa County, Florida Young Republican Club. And I did such a good job working on the Nixon campaign that they had this big fish fry fundraiser for Nixon. And they had a guest speaker. And they asked me to sit at the head table along with him as a reward for my hard work on the Nixon campaign. And the guy's name, you've probably heard of him, been around for a while, Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. And then in 1971, I tried to join the Air Force. But I actually flunked my physical to get in, my induction physical, because of an old high school football injury. And so I had to get a waiver to get into the military when most people of good sense were trying to stay out of the military. And after my training, I was sent to a base here in California called Travis Air Force Base, up there by San Francisco. It was an airlift base for the war. GIs would come from all over America to get on the plane to go to Vietnam. And when the planes would come back, they would bring the body bags of the dead soldiers. And on the weekends, there was a protest almost every single weekend, a protest outside the gate. Most times, 10 or 12 people. Only one time, the whole time I was there, they had a big demonstration. Country Joe and the Fish and Jane Fonda came. They had 500 people. But most of the time, every weekend, 10 to 12 people standing out there with their signs. I can hear them now, forlornly looking at each other. You don't think it does any good to be out here, do you? You don't think we're doing any good, do you? You don't think we'll ever stop this war, do you? Well, I guess we have to be faithful. But little did they know that on our base, besides the thousands of GIs that came and went on the airplanes to go to Vietnam and back, we had 15,000 permanently stationed GIs on our base. And little did they know that their protest, their small little protest on the weekends, got us talking in the barracks, got us talking in the chow hall, got us talking on the job. And in fact, there was a GI resistance movement in the barracks. The first day I checked into the barracks, I checked into a thing called the orderly room. They looked down his clipboard. Oh my God, we've only got one room left. We'll get you out of here as soon as we can. We're sorry. I didn't know what they were talking about. Get your bags. And we walked down this long, dark hallway. Really, we'll get you out of here as soon as we can. I thought it would be a little broom closet with a cot, and I'd be in there for two or three nights. And the guy opened the door, and we walked in, and there were anti-war posters all over the wall. Come to find out, it was the leading GI resistance movement organizer in the barracks. They were keeping him isolated because they were trying to kick him out, but they didn't have enough stuff on him yet. But they only had one room left. And then they forgot about me in there. And so at night, there's a knock on the door. And white guys come in with chairs, and they sit in a circle. And I'm sitting in the corner thinking, my God, these are communists. They're talking about the war. Remember who I am, you know. And then another night, there's a knock on the door, and black guys come in with chairs. They're Black Panthers from the cities talking about racism. And I'm sitting in the corner. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I grew up on military bases behind barbed wire fences. And then they were smoking marijuana. I had heard of it. But I promised you I never inhaled, not one time. Never, never. But after about 6 months of this, they started leaving their books around. I started reading them. I was always a curious sort, you know. So I began to, even though I was sitting in the corner, I began to listen to what they had to say. And it made sense. And it changed my life. And so after about 9 months in the military, I decided I was a conscientious objector. And I went and I asked if I could be released. And their first question to me was, well, what's your history? Are you from a Quaker family? No, I'm a young Republican for Nixon from a military family. And so they turned me down. And so I did 3.5 years of what I called hard time. Because after I figured out what was going on, after I read the Pentagon Papers, our government's secret history of how we fabricated the whole pretext to get into the war, it was like being in prison for me. But I got out after 3.5 years, and I was going to school at the University of Florida, where I live in Gainesville, Florida today, just ready to graduate when I got recruited by the United Farm Workers Union, Cesar Chavez's union, to become an organizer of fruit pickers in Florida. And so I left college, never to return, and I became an organizer, and I did that for several years. I went on to coordinate the Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice for 15 years, between 83 and 98. And it was in that job that we began to look at what was going on at the Space Center. What are they doing over there? These plutonium launches and these military satellite launches, what's happening? And so I want to share with you some of the things that we learned over the years. In 1992, we created the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. And for some years, I coordinated both organizations. But since 98, I've been doing just the Global Network work full time.